So, welcome to your assignment prep session. I have to acknowledge the Learning Development Centre because I have plagiarised some of their slides. So I'm fessing up to that now. Jamie High, who normally does sessions for us, is off on maternity leave, so we couldn't have her come along with us today. So instead, I've just plagiarised some of her stuff. I hope she doesn't mind. Check with her when she comes back. Okay. So, if you haven't already found your assignment, it is in the module handbook. Okay. So the case study, the instructions, the details, the marking criteria, it's all in your module handbook. So it's an evaluative report. It's 3,000 words, so it's only one piece of coursework, so that makes up 100% of the actual assessment. And it's based on a case study, which is the story of Jennifer. So it's due on the 2nd of May, and it'll be the usual Turnitin electronic submission. Now, because it is an evaluative report, it's actual a professional report we're expecting rather than an essay. So we're going to have a wee chat about what some of the differences might be within that. So the report asks you to look at some things in particular. So it asks you to evaluate the impact of local contemporary health and social care policies on people living with dementia, including their families and carers. So where in the module have we looked at health and social care policies? Can you remember? Absolutely. So you did your presentations. Do you remember? We had a range of different health and social care policies for you to pick from. And if you go back to that workshop, you'll see all the slides are there on the different policies as a resource for you. Jog My Memory, was one of those related to dementia? There were, weren't they? So you've got that as a source of information. Second one, evaluate temporary methods of assessing Jennifer's needs. So we will have a session on assessment methods coming up, and we'll be having a look at different ways of doing that. And then identify and discuss one key area of professional practice relevant to the case study and identify how outcomes would be measured. So thinking a little bit about the language in those tasks, if you were to identify what the kind of key words were in the first action kind of point, what is kind of jumping out at you? Evaluate. Okay, and because it's an evaluative report, it means, well, what does evaluation mean to you? If you're going to evaluate something, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to critique it, you're going to assess it, you're going to tell us what you think about it. Okay, so it's a little bit more than just describing policy. You need to evaluate. And it's not just about the actual policy, there's the word impact, okay? So what impact is the policy having? You've also got the word local, so what do you think that means for us? Scottish policy, okay? Now don't worry if you kind of go into UK policy, that's absolutely fine. But we're looking for a kind of local context to it. The word contemporary, what springs to mind when we're talking about something being contemporary? Current. Yep, current, okay. So a couple of clues for you there. Looking for up-to-date evaluation of Scottish policy. Okay, and we've got the word contemporary in the second point as well. So we're looking for kind of current methods of assessing somebody with dementia. Jennifer has dementia in the case study. So, and tell us what you think about current methods of assessing Jennifer's needs. So the third one then, identify and discuss one area of key professional practice. So we're talking about OT practice, right? So you've got to identify one area of OT practice that you think are relevant to Jennifer's story. So tell me about some of the areas of professional practice in relation to working with somebody with dementia that you've seen on placement, or you've read about, or perhaps you're currently doing. Shout out some ideas. Okay, so kind of environmental assessment and modification. And when we're talking about modification, it could be about things like signage and kind of orientation as well. Absolutely. What else? Good, absolutely. We know that people with dementia have an increased falls risk. Can you link anything this morning? Is there visual impairments associated with dementia?
There's a thing on the other night there on the TV about how we have these rooms
easier, yeah. So it's part of this kind of environmental kind of modification, isn't it? Have you seen the University of Stirling's? They've got some really nice kind of stuff online. I'll do the link for it for you. And it's got rooms, and you can it shows you how the kind of optimum layout of a room might be for somebody with dementia. And it's things like having brightly coloured toilet seat on the toilet, so that it's not just all white. Somebody can find the toilet much more easily. Or, you know, the kind of memory boxes outside somebody's room, so they can see their own personal belongings in the little box, and so they can identify that this is their room more easily for wayfinding. Things like that. What other kind of things do OTs do with people with dementia?
Reality orientation.
Reality orientation, yeah, absolutely.
Cognitive stimulation.
Yeah, cognitive stimulation. A lot of those tend to take place in groups as well. So there's a whole range of different topics that you can have a think about. And when you're reading the case study, you might want to take some notes about what you think would be relevant for some of the things that Jennifer's experiencing. But it doesn't just ask you to have a think about the area of professional practice and tell us about it. It's asking you to identify outcomes of what you're doing. All right, so that might tie in with method of assessment, or it might be a little bit different. Alright, so it's asking you to think about, well, what would be the outcomes potentially from that intervention, and how are you going to measure them? Unfortunately, that's not all. There's a few more bits and bobs as well. So, here comes the evidence. It's level 4, as you know. We always ask you to be critical. So you're asking you to go to the evidence space, all right? Not just in the UK, we're asking you to think about international perspectives as well. So comparing what's going on in the UK, now if you want, you can link that to your area of professional practice. Okay, you can be smart about it and have a look at the evidence associated with that, both within the UK and somewhere else that are working, have got evidence published to do with working with people with dementia. Or if you find that difficult, dependent on the intervention that you selected, you can do it on another aspect of dementia care. And And then the final bit, make some recommendations. The future direction, where do you think the care and rehabilitation is heading? Which direction should it be going?
So, Kane, the last point, did you say that that critical comparison of UK based evidence, etc., it doesn't have to be related to the area you've spoken about already?
Doesn't have to be. If you find it difficult, if the area you've selected doesn't have a lot of literature on it, you can pick something else. My next point is going to be about word count, however. Right? Because it's 3,000 words and you've got a lot to cover. So what we will do is have a think about the different sections in a little bit and think how you might kind of allocate the words to the different sections. So what's the difference between report writing and essay writing? Well, when it's a report, we wouldn't necessarily expect there to be a lot of kind of description or flowery language. Think about some of the reports that you either write in practice or read in practice. It might be to do with services, it might be to do with assessment reports or whatever. They're quite factual and based on evidence. Okay? So that will help with your word count. If you try and write quite concisely and not a kind of essay style, so that means it doesn't have to flow in the same way between the different sections. You want a section to read well, but it doesn't necessarily have to kind of link on to the next section quite as much within an essay when you're kind of looking to be kind of guide through from start to finish. So there can be quite distinct sections. You can use headings if you want to help you do that. Because it's a report, you can use tables and figures if you wish. They won't be included in the word count. Okay? So again, if you're thinking a little bit smartly, sometimes a picture tells 1,000 words. You might want to kind of use a figure of I don't know, stats or whatever, to help make some of your points. Just make sure that you don't then repeat what's in the graph or the figure, all right? Because you're kind of losing some of the benefit of it there. It's got to include critical thinking. So we've seen the word evaluate, you've seen the word kind of critical and what we're looking for. So you've all done that with your honours projects. You know what's expected of you and you're expected to make a kind of judgement on the evidence. And there's obviously that section where it's asking you to look at the research evidence. So that's a good place to get that kind of critical thinking in. We already know it's got to be based on evidence because some of the report asks you to kind of look for it in particular. And the headings can help guide the reader. If your words aren't quite flowing between the sections as they would in an essay, then sometimes the headings can help guide the reader through the process. So we're looking for something a little bit different than your kind of normal essay format. So, just a quick reminder about what critical thinking involves. If this isn't your strong point or your forte, it's not easy. We know it's not easy. So, some hints and tips for you. Draw comparisons. The actual assignment asks you specifically to draw comparisons. And that is a good way of bringing in critical writing. So it's asking you to compare and contrast what's going on here versus what's going on somewhere else. In the legislation part, we've already said, don't just describe, do something else with it. Explain it further. Not just what the legislation states, but what is the impact of that? how is it affecting services, how is it affecting the lives of people with dementia. Consider alternative perspectives. So if sometimes certain services or policies might restrict practice, try and bring in an alternative argument. How could they enhance it, for example? So you're trying to think about things from different perspectives. You can introduce that into your writing. And it just really allows us to see that you're thinking widely, you're thinking about things in a little bit more depth than just applying what you've read to your report. You're actually giving it some consideration. What's the strengths and weaknesses? Now, if you've suggested an area of professional practice, say, for example, it's reality orientation sessions, it doesn't mean to say that you need to defend that aspect of occupational therapy. Tell us what the evidence base is. Is there an evidence base for that? Is evidence weak? Is it strong? Be quite critical. We all know that these are things that are used in practice. Tell us what the evidence says about it. And that leads on to the last point as well. What evidence is there to say that that intervention can address a particular issue? And what are the limitations? And I don't know why this expand customization is on my slide. I can't seem to get rid of it. Any questions so far? Okay. So the report structure then. Normally in a report, if you kind of Google evaluative report, it kind of suggests certain kind of headings that you might use. We haven't specified any headings in the assignment guidelines. We've given you points that we want you to cover, but how you actually structure it is up to you. So these are kind of some suggested ones coming up, but you know you can do things a little bit differently if you want. So you need to introduce the report in some kind of way and have a think about what are the key themes that you're going to address. Any ideas what the key themes might be within this assignment? Yeah? So it's the things that we've already asked you to do. These might be your key themes that you're going to address within the report. Yeah? So straight away, you're able to say to whoever's marking it, I'm going to be talking about an area of professional practice. I'm going to be talking about how policy impacts on dementia. I'm going to be talking about ways of assessing need. All right? So the person who's marking it can straight away see, okay, yeah, I know what's coming, and I know they're going to be meeting or trying to meet the assignment and guidance. Right, so these might be the themes. So if you want, you can use them as part of the heading. So after your introduction and your main body, you could actually have sections that say policy, assessment of need, for example. Does that make sense? Yeah, within your report. Now, because it's not an essay, if I was just to read one section on its own, that section should be able to make sense to me. So your section on policy should be able to read as a wee standalone paragraph. Okay. And then you have your conclusion at the end, how you are finishing off your... So, What did you come up with for your different sections? What did you come up with for introduction, background information? How many words do you think you would allocate to that? 200? Anybody say more than 200? Or less?
Is there about three or four.
Three or four hundred?
Four.
Any higher? What's that card theme?
Same
less
because of marks.
Less because there's no marks? What do you think?
We think less now after you spoke to us.
Okay. Alright. So, have a think. Let's just jump back. Where are your marks in this assignment? Yep. So, 20, 40, 60, and 40. My heart stopped there. I thought it wasn't going to add up to 100. I thought, oh no.
It's just my very poor
arithmetic
skills.
So, this is where your marks are, okay? What is the purpose of the introduction? Set the scene. Tell the reader what is going to be talked about in your report and do the signposting, alright? You can't not have an introduction to a report, alright? Because it's not going to look professionally presented. But it's very tempting in introductions to start repeating the case study or to start telling us all about dementia, okay? But actually, this is what the assignment's asking you to do, okay? So a nice short introduction, so that allows you to stay focused on the assignment question and topic, all right?
Should we explain something about dementia?
It's up to yourself. If you feel that it reads well, it's up to yourself. It's not an assignment requirement. Okay, we're not assessing your knowledge of dementia. That will come, if you decide not to, I think your knowledge of dementia will come through in the other sections. Yeah, when you're talking about assessing need, the impact of policy, the area of professional practice, you can demonstrate your kind of knowledge and link back to dementia sources and information through other ways. So, did we decide less than 400 words then? What was the consensus? What did you say?
Two.
Two? Yeah, 200-300 words maybe, whatever you feel is needed to kind of set this scene in. Assignment sections, what did you allocate for this? $700 for each of the 20 marks. Oh, you've done well. So have you kind of divided up the assignment sections into the different... So how many assignment sections are there?
There's five.
Five, okay. So let's just have a think. Do any of your assignment sections fit in any other part other than the bit that says assignment sections? Potentially. This is just a suggestion. I'm not saying that this is how you have to write them.
Some of it would fit in the discussion part, probably.
Okay, any particular one? Would it fit in the discussion and conclusion?
The future direction.
Yes, absolutely. So if you want, you could put that part in there. Okay? Because that would be a nice way to kind of finish up the report, talking about where you think the care of dementia is going or heading. So you could have five sections and assignment sections, or you could have four. Policy, assessment, professional practice, and evidence base. Okay, up to you. So there was four at... Four at 20 marks, is that right? No?
Three
at 20 marks and one at 30 mark. So you had a little bit more for the...
Yeah, 1,000 for the 30 mark.
The 30 mark, okay. Alright. So it's just pointing out that some sections have more marks and you might want to take that into consideration. Alright? And just get a feel for how much you're going to write about each topic. And then the discussion and conclusion. How many did you have left for that?
300.
About 300. I guess it depends whether or not you're going to include your recommendations. References and appendices are, of course, the trick question because they're not included in your word count. Okay. Neither will be any kind of tables or graphs or figures in those. So, some more kind of hints and tips. Now that you've got a rough idea of your kind of report plan and the different sections, how are you going to fit all the information that you need to do within to your word count? So, writing concisely is the name of the game. No kind of flowery writing. We want nice, clear information. And I say this all the time, I'm sure people think I'm a bit daft, but I always read aloud my work. That's just my, it works for me. You may have other things that work for you. But by reading aloud my work, I find all my typos and my grammatical errors, and where I should have commas, where I'm pausing, things like that. So it really helps to tidy up with the presentation. And it also helps me identify when something doesn't make sense, when I've gone off track with something, because I'm pausing in my head thinking, what on earth am I talking about now? So it really does help for me, reading out loud. Use careful language. So again, this is just reinforcing, no need to be flowery, nice, clear, concise language, and think about the words that you're using, because I know this sounds really, really obvious, but different words give different meanings to a passage. Okay, so think about the actual words that you're putting into your sentences. Avoid too much description, because we're looking for critical writing. Avoid the emotive language, so we don't want to read about Jennifer's dreadful circumstances or poor Jennifer or how Jennifer's really suffering or anything like that. It's a report, it's a professional report, all right? So we don't want emotive language. Make sure that it all reads well within your individual sections. Don't worry too much about making the headings flow, and still make sure that you guide the reader through it. The introduction's a good place for that. But so can your language. This is one of Jane's slides. So using, she calls it small scale signposting and large scale signposting. So small scale is just in words that you might use to let the reader know different meanings. So however, furthermore, so that might be you introducing a different point of view, an alternative perspective, a different argument into it. Words, things like finally, in conclusion, help you know that you're summing up your points, you're coming to the end of this section. By contrast tells us that you're making a comparison, like the assignment Deacon asks you to do. The larger scale signposting actually tells the reader that you've covered this part of the assignment and you're moving on to the next part of the assignment. Okay? And that can be useful if you've decided not to use headings within your report and you prefer to actually have it within your text. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a look this afternoon, later on, about referencing, because we've got a new referencing guide. Have you all seen that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
It's only an updated one. It's only an updated one. They've made it clearer, apparently. You can tell us. We'll have a look this afternoon. But I think it includes more detail on how to reference web sources and things like that. So we'll have a look and see what's different. So I've put it on GCU Learn for you under today, the assignment prep. I've given you the link to the new assignment guidance and I've called it January 2017. Okay, so that you know it's the most up-to-date one. So we're going to cover a little bit of referencing just so that everybody's really clear about what we're using. So before we move on, any questions about any of that?
There's no limits on references or anything.
No limits on your
references?
No. It's not your project, you can use as many as you like.
Any leeway on the new referencing guide? These previous years have been given a sort of grace period with it, just to be a new referencing guide.
Oh, that's a good part. Yes, I suppose there will be. I don't actually mind which referencing format you use, as long as you use it consistently. So it's you're more likely to get a penalty if some of your references are brackets, some of them don't. Some of your texts are in italics, if you're doing it for books, for example, or journals, and then others don't. So that's where we see the kind of mistakes coming in. So just stick to one way of doing it.
So could you completely non-GCU one? That's because of the things like mentally aren't supported by GCU. So
ideally, this is the one you're supposed to use. It is the one you're supposed to use. So ideally, yes.
Okay, you're saying that you're not
talking
about Jennifer. Is it anywhere? Where do we use Jennifer in the report?
Well, you'll talk about Jennifer when you're talking about appropriate methods to assess our needs.
Right, okay.
So you could potentially mention what Jennifer's needs might be and methods of assessing them, and then areas of professional practice.
Yeah. So when it comes to policies and all that, don't you need to
refer to Jennifer specifically.
So when you're thinking about her, like kind of identifying your needs, do you be just looking at what the case study says, so you can't make anything up for?
No, don't elaborate the case study.
Right.
Yeah, just stick with what the case study provides you. You can talk about literature and how literature identifies that other people with dementia might have similar needs or different needs, mm-hmm. but don't feel that you need to embellish the case study. It's quite a meaty case study. So there should be sufficient. Have you read the case study? Have you had a look through it? It's not bad. It's a bit to work with.
I can't remember now.
I know. Have another. Any more questions?
We just have to ask, when using the international perspective, do we need to just compare one other country, or do we need a few countries?
It's up to you. I think it's probably easier to compare one country, but it really depends on how much literature you can find, I guess. So if you find a number of articles from, I don't know, that relate to kind of countries we might associate with kind of Asian countries or Eastern countries, and you want to kind of block them together, that's absolutely fine. Questions. So there's no exemplars, as you know, because this is the first time this module has run. So we're trying to give you as much guidance as we can of what we're expecting. Right? So what we're going to do for the next bit of the session is actually encourage you to create your own essay kind of learning plan. Okay, so having a think about what is it that you need to do or to start thinking about in order to address the different sections of your assignment. Okay, and I'm quite happy to kind of come round the groups and kind of chat to you about that to try and give you as much guidance as possible. Alright, so we'll spend about maybe about 20 minutes on developing a kind of essay kind of guidance plan, and then we'll have a look at referencing, and that'll be us for today. Okay? Does that sound all right?